All right, back with you, Dave Ellswick Show. I'm excited to have Cotton back here. I've been trying to get him in here for a long time. Roshab, right?
Yes, sir.
I got it right. Cotton and Donna Roshab. And Brian Darnell is here. Brian is the guy that I was talking about from Valpo or Valparaiso. See, we say Valparaiso in Indiana. Down in New Orleans, they say Valparaiso, I think, as they say. They pronounce it differently.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But go it's Hoosiers.
Like, it's like not Hobart. It's, you know, some people want to say Hobart. It's not Hobart. Yeah. It's Hobart.
Exactly, exactly.
That's why, you know, when I came to Little Rock 16 years ago, first thing that I did was sit down with somebody, and I said, tell me how to pronounce all these towns' names. Because every town pronounces their name differently. In Kentucky, it's not Versailles, it's Versailles.
Versailles. Mm.
They say Versailles, Kentucky. And if you say Versailles, they know you ain't from around there. I'm just telling you. So, and people like to, it's not Sheridan, it's Sheridan. I mean, I know what.
That's right. Or Searcy.
Or Searcy. That's exactly right. You got to say it right. If people expect you to pronounce their names of their towns right, so we worked hard on that for a while. All right, so I brought Donna and I brought Cotton in here. I'll let you know that Donna is in need of a kidney.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about organ donation today. I haven't talked about this in a while here on my show. I'm a huge proponent of this. You know, I used to have a brochure we put out at the Regional Organ Bank in Illinois that said, don't take your organs to heaven. Heaven knows we need them here. Mm. And it's true. It's amazing what they can do now with all of the new anti-rejection drugs that they have for organ transplantation. A lot of things happen. I don't know if Pittsburgh University is still a hotbed of development and whatnot there, but it's really amazing what they've done. I was involved in it back in the 80s, and that's 30 years ago. I've kind of got out of touch with a lot of it, but I bet you there's been major moves as far as this is concerned with all the things they can do with the human genome and everything now. So Cotton,
yes,
you all have walked through some pretty hot fires in your all's marriage.
We have.
And you know, how many years you guys been married now?
11 this weekend.
11. Well, yes, you know, there are some marriages that might have fractured under the pressure that you two have been under at times. You lost a child.
Yes, sir.
You gained a child.
We did.
And then turn around and your wife needs a kidney. It
yes,
makes
sir.
It very, very difficult. But I know that you're a man of faith.
Yes, sir.
And that's helped you move through this.
Absolutely. What doesn't tear you apart makes you stronger, you know.
A little Nitschke for us, huh?
That's right. That's right.
So that's right. I'm just, you know, bottom line is, Donna, I'm going to let you talk about a little bit about this, the whole thing about organ donation as just an issue that a lot of people don't contemplate it, really. It's not something that's on, I think, the front burner of a lot of people. However, there's a lot of people out there that could use the organs once people pass away and have a much better, you know, life in front of them.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that with kidney, liver, those type of organs, that those are things that you can actually be a live donor for. You can live with one kidney easily. And we have a few statistics, 123,000 people are listed for organ donor transplant nationwide. I mean, nationwide, that's how many people are waiting for a kidney. And then another one is an average of 22 patients die every day while waiting for a kidney.
On the list.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of people that are listening right now that if they'd go in and be tested, they probably could give up a kidney. In fact, sure. Brian Darnell, who's also here in the studio, Brian, you just gave up a kidney not too long ago.
Yeah, I had a kind of the same thing that happened on Facebook. I had lost touch with one of my friends for 15 years, hadn't talked to him at all, but I knew him back at church in Indiana, in Maryville.
Maryville, Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
Maryville Pirates.
That's right. And, you know, his mom put some feelers out there on Facebook. And, you know, I saw it and I just kind of felt compelled. I was like, you know, I'll send in my name. I'll get blood tested and let's go from there. And if I'm a match, let's keep going with this process. And sure enough, every step along the way, you know, blood compatibility, antigen compatibility, all that stuff, urine levels were good. And that started in July of last year. And then on February 11th of this year, I gave my kidney to my friend Andy.
Yeah, so. it's not a fast process to go through all the testing that's necessary to see if you're compatible with somebody.
Right. And they probably could have moved a little faster, but I had a month or so where I was kind of out of the country and doing other things. So it could have worked a little faster, but the process went smooth overall. I'm going back to work on Monday. Like I said, it's been 5 weeks. I've actually felt good for the past 2.5 weeks. But some of the requirements for my job, you know, include lifting
and things that
I'm not supposed to lift more than 10 pounds for 4 to 6 weeks. That's the only thing that's kept me from going back to work. But I felt really good. Recovery was fast. A lot less painful than I actually anticipated, honestly. So, like you said, you know, why would I go into the grave with two kidneys when I could live a full life with one and help my friend out at the same time? And that's really the driving force behind, you know, kidney donation, organ donation in general. If you're healthy enough to do it and it's something you stand compelled to do, I say go for it. It's the most rewarding thing I've ever done with my life.
All right. So your friend, was he married? Did he have a family? I mean, was he single?
No, he's single. He's 36. He's a couple years older than me. But he's had a lot of health problems. You know, he hadn't had time for a lot of that extracurricular. You know, he's been on dialysis for the past, or he was on dialysis for the past five months or so.
Ooh.
So every day he would work, you know, he'd work 8 hours and he'd have to go straight home and he'd connect to dialysis for 10 hours a night. And then he'd wake up, go to work. So, you know, once you get to that stage, living and having that, you know, just a normal lifestyle becomes really hard because of your health problems, you know, so.
All right.
Yeah.
So Cotton, I know that you guys have a blog where people can go and read about what's going on with you all. Where are you all in finding a donor?
Well, we were currently with Baptist with their program. We were there for several months. And then I'm sure you probably saw where they discontinued their organ donation or their kidney program there.
Yeah, I saw that.
And we've been transferred over to UAMS. And, man, I'll tell you, we have just been thrilled with the team at UAMS. We not only got to keep some of the great doctors at Baptist that we got to work with, they're still agreeing to be on our team, but we get to work with some of the, you know, great doctors at UAMS also. And it's been an amazing experience. So far, we went through an orientation and then we went through a one-on-one. We met the doctors, we met, you know, the entire team there. And you know, one of the things, you go into those things, you're nervous, you know, you really just kind of apprehensive and just kind of scared, you know, when you go into the room. And then one of the, I guess, something that you can't teach is how a medical person can calm you down or whatever, you know. And we just see, you know, success in this program that they have. And
bedside manner.
It is. It's a big thing when a doctor or any medical person can, and they're all good at it. Anytime they can put you at ease your blood pressure, you know, it's a great thing. And that's what they've done there for us. And since we've been there, we met with the person who's going to be the advocate for us on our side of the deal, and also the person who's going to be the advocate for the donor that comes forward. And so it's great the way they do that. They have someone there at the hospital that's looking out, because if we get a kidney and the person who's a donor, or, you know, has a you know, they don't have the same quality of life moving forward, it's kind of a miserable thing, you know, for us to even think about that. And so they look at all the criteria, and I'm sure Brian could probably attest to this too. There's a lot of questions they ask and make sure that, you know, this is going to be successful.
Well, when we come back, we'll talk about that with Brian. When we come back, we'll talk to Cotton and to Donna, and we'll ask them to tell their story. When did you find out, Donna, that, you know, your kidneys were shutting down, basically? And if you don't have working kidneys, you don't work very well either. All right, it's 4:45. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back here on the Dave Elswick Show, 96.5 FM, The Answer. All right, final and overtime, Iowa survives against Temple. Just in one overtime, didn't take two, just one. 72-70, final score. Iowa wins. So Big Ten has lost, what, two teams thus far out of their six. It was a six? Michigan State, Iowa, Indiana. Who else we got in there?
Iowa State.
Michigan State.
Iowa State.
No, Iowa State is Big 12.
Oh, they are. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iowa State.
The Cyclones. All right. Cotton and Donna are here. A lot of you already know Cotton. I mean, he's got a very big Facebook presence. I go on there and read some of the insanity that's on his Facebook from time to time. And your blog's pretty big, too, isn't it?
Sure. Get a lot of traffic. We do.
And that's good. I mean, it's really good. You go to New Life?
Yes, sir.
You do? Okay. You go New Life Conway. I go New Life Conway. Cabot.
We do.
I know James is my pastor over there.
Right.
Great guy. And where you go? You go New Life?
James is one of my best friends.
Is he really?
I'm going camping with him next week.
Oh, cool. Well, pull up on that microphone so we can hear you good. All right. So, yeah, James is a great guy. He really is, James Bennett.
You guys are growing.
Yeah, we're building a sanctuary right now.
That's awesome.
I think it's going to hold 800 and something.
Wow.
We need it.
Yeah.
I mean,
we
do three services every Sunday, and they're packed. I mean, absolutely, you know, Sardine City.
Yeah.
And it's really, really packed out there. All right, so let's go back with Brian. Brian, when you called in and you said to your buddy, hey, look, I'm interested in being a donor.
Uh-huh.
What was the next step?
The next step was, you know, they gave me a phone number to call and a representative from the donor agency at the hospital. And basically, they gave me a list of questions that she ran down with me. And she went down them all. You know, do you have any medical history? Do you have diabetes, hypertension? Do you have you had kidney stones in the past? You know, all these things don't necessarily take you out, but some of them will. You know, like if you have diabetes, you know, they're more than likely not going to take you.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm two strikes already on me right here.
And that's not necessarily, you know, that's something that you're going to have to talk about with, you know, obviously the program that you go through. But, you know, initially going through that list, you know, they didn't see a problem with it. And they're like, okay, we're going to send you a kit. And this kit is, you know, it's going to have some blood labs to draw. You know, you're going to have to go get your labs drawn, and then you're going to have to send it back. They pay for all that stuff. You don't have to worry about spending your own money on postage or anything like
right.
that. And they, you know, that comes with a list of instructions you just follow. And it's pretty simple. And then you send it in. You know, you send your blood in, and, you know, they'll tell you, okay, we're good to keep going. Let's continue to the next step. And if your blood, you know, if your compatibility doesn't come back, then, you know, you're just not able to donate. So
did they ask you if you weren't compatible there, did they want to keep you, you know, in line for somebody else if it came up? Were you ready to do that if necessary?
You know, I'm not sure. Like a lot of people, you know, you never think about kidney donation, liver donation, you can even get lung donation.
I did not know you could donate a lung.
Yeah, like on the form, you know, I got at some point during this process, I remember seeing, you know, what are you donating? Kidney, check, liver, check, lung, check. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
Wow.
I don't know if that's a partial.
It didn't say heart, right?
Yeah, no heart, okay. No heart transplants, no living heart transplants so far that we know of.
Right.
So yeah, you know, I had not thought about that, but you know, the thing was I was compatible, and so I was able to say yes. Let's continue on this process, and it really does tug on your faith during the process, because I remember talking to Andy's mom, Vicky is her name, and you know, she was kind of like, you know, just really nervous that it wasn't going to work out, you know, and I was just like, let's keep believing, you know, let's pray that this is going to work. This is going to be a match. You know,
mm-hmm.
I felt it. When I told my wife when I sent in my blood, I was like, I feel like I'm going to be a match. Like I was compelled to do it, and I just knew. And sure enough, along the way, you know, it just kept gaining momentum, and one thing led to another, and I'm got one kidney.
So. Okay, so what hospital did you do all the work at?
He lives in Florida. So
okay.
I had to go all the way down to horrible weather, Florida.
That's
you know?
A terrible place to have to go.
Yeah,
to.
And right on the beach, you know, Tampa General Hospital.
Wow, I know where that's at, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah. And so what happens along the way through the process. And, you know, it's going to be different for these guys. If listeners from Arkansas, you're just going to come to Little Rock and do this process. But
one of the best hospitals in Arkansas.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. And but throughout this process, you know, there was, you know, Andy's insurance covered all of my stuff on the medical side. You know? So, you know, the fact that we had to go down there and stuff, you know, they covered a lot of that. And there's a lot of assistance programs that a lot of people aren't aware of. But if taking time off from your job is the problem that you're not going to do it, you're going to get that covered by the National Living Donor Assistance Program or different programs, American Transplant Foundation. You know, there's a lot of things that are in place now to help people out, because they don't want money to be the reason that someone doesn't give an organ, you know. So yeah, I was down in Tampa for 2 weeks, February 11th to February 25th, and they wanted me down there for 2 weeks for a post checkup, you know, a post surgery checkup, and then I came back. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So the surgery wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be.
No, and you know, this was my first surgery that I can remember. My mom said I had tonsils taken out when I was like 2 or 3.
Yeah,
but I don't remember that.
I'm going to tell you what, taking tonsils out and taking kidney out.
Exactly.
Maybe a little bit different.
A little different. And but I had, basically I didn't remember surgery at all. So this was pretty much my first surgery.
All right.
So I was kind of nervous a little bit. You know, what's it going to feel like afterwards?
No, wait a second. Wait a second. Now you're a nurse, correct?
I'm a nurse.
All right, so you take care of people all the time that have had surgeries.
That's true. It gives me a whole new appreciation of what they go through. Exactly. I'm gonna be a better nurse because of this. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
So you won't be saying, get up!
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got you.
I'll treat them with a little bit more grace, all right. You know, and give them a little more time. Yeah, exactly. So I'm trying to remember the question.
What you're saying is that this was really an amazing experience.
Yes.
And now that you can look back on it, you're glad you did it.
Yes. If I had 3 kidneys, I'd probably give 2 away. Because
wow, that's cool. Know,
honestly.
Good for you.
Because it is a rewarding experience. And, you know, when you look back on your life, you can say, I did everything I could to help my friend or to help this person. And that's really what life is about. You know, we're here not for ourselves. We're here to serve others, and we're here to give to others, and we're here to show love to others. And I can't think of a better way to do that than organ donation.
Wow. Right.
So
we're down to just about a minute and a half here before we go to Fox News. We'll do the whole story about what has happened to put Donna in the position that she's in. And then we'll talk with Cotton, because you know what? When your mate is going through something like this, it affects the other mate.
It does.
In just, you know, not the same way, but in different ways, but it affects you. Mm-hmm. There's things that, you know, life changes at that point. So Brian is going to stick around. Cotton's going to be here. Donna's going to be here. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about a worry-free retirement real quickly. For those of you who want something that's simple and easy to understand, David Lucas can help you put together a written game plan that's built around predictability and certainty. The worry-free retirement is all about using and enjoying and protecting your money in retirement. There's not a whole lot of us right now, after what happened in 2008, that could turn around and take another downturn on the stock market, a crash like that again. I know that it really decimated my 401k. I'm sure a lot of you have gone through the same thing with your IRAs and whatever. So you may have built back now. If you want to look at a way that maybe you want to continue putting some money into that 401k, but you want something that's simple, it's easy to understand, and is predictable, and there's certainty to it, then the worry-free retirement is something else for you to look into it completely. You can get a starter kit just by calling 501-218-8880 is the number, 501-218-8880. This is no obligation. That doesn't obligate you to anything. All this does is explain to you how the worry-free retirement program works. You talk to David Lucas, and then you figure out if that's what you want to do or not. DavidLucasFinancial.com is his website. Again, the phone number is 501-218-8880. Make the call. Find out if it's right for you. doesn't hurt to make the call and look at the kit. I'm just telling you. All right, Fox News is next. When we come back, Cotton and Donna will continue with us, and we'll hear their story when we talk some more here on the Dave Elswick Show. Back with you, final hour of a week of shows, the Dave Elswick Show special hour, as Cotton and his wife Donna Rochab are with us. Brian Darnell is here with us. We're talking about organ donation. It's kind of a touchy subject sometime. I worked in the industry for a while. I worked with Regional Organ Bank of Illinois. I left radio for about a year and 3 months. And my job was to sit down with people whose family member looked like they were still alive. Mm-hmm. They were in a bed. They were on a machine. They looked like they were breathing, still warm to the touch. But, you know, they've done the blood flow tests, and, you know, the blood wasn't reaching into the brain. The person was brain dead, and trying to explain to them what was going on and would they like to donate the organs of that deceased person to help other people. And to say that that's a highly emotionally charged environment is an understatement. Sure. It is really an understatement. I could handle. I went a little over a year, which was about 5 months longer than the normal person went, because getting calls in the middle of the night at any time that sure. You know that happened. But I'm a big proponent of organ donation, and I'll give the phone number 823-0965. You got any questions? We'll figure out a way of answering them for you. I'll just tell you, it's. You don't. Here's the things that everybody's always afraid of. I won't really be dead. Yeah, you are. I'm just telling you. You won't be there. Bottom line, you don't have to worry about that. There's a lot of religious questions about being buried without having all your organs. Look, God takes care of that. That's you don't right. have to worry about it. It's no big deal. And for the minority community, I'm going to tell you that, you know, the whole thing of organ donation is very, very, very important because more minorities are on the list than, white folks. I'm just going to be honest with you, because fewer minorities donate than anybody. And again, it goes back to religious beliefs and misconceptions and things of that nature. So if you want to call in 823-0965, we'll take that on. All right, so Cotton and Donna, I'm going to turn to your story here. When did you find out that there was something wrong? What happened?
Well, Donna had been diagnosed with lupus. I'll let you tell the story.
I was diagnosed with lupus in 1984 when I was 12 years old.
Wow.
The doctors told my parents at that time I would not live past the age of 16.
Wow.
And now here I am at 43. And
oh, you're not 43.
Yes. Yes.
She looks like about 35.
I married up.
You did, buddy. You really are. She's gorgeous.
Thank you. So on and off, been in and out of the hospital with lupus flares. Not real often. You know, probably about every 5 to 8 years. And this last time that I had any issues, my kidney function was about 25%. So we weren't at the point where we needed to be on the list yet. Went out in the backyard, started jumping on the trampoline with my son. And later on that night, I had the worst pain close to childbirth that I've ever done, that I've ever had. And went to the hospital that night, my first ever kidney stone.
Wow.
And it was large enough. They did have to remove it surgically. And after that, my kidney function had dropped to 17% because of the pain and everything
When did you know that your kidney function wasn't where it should be, that it had started dropping off?
Well, my kidney specialist, my nephrologist, she keeps pretty close tabs on me. I used to see her about every 3 months just to keep things monitored. And there for probably about 2 years, it stayed right in the 25 to 30% range.
Okay.
And then after, of course, she was on the case as soon as I had that kidney stone and told the doctor we need to check all her blood work, and that's when they found out it had dropped down.
Yeah. Okay.
And a big shout out to Dr. Mary Jo Shaver. She's our nephrologist, and she is amazing. She's one of the best in the world.
She's best.
Yeah, she's really held her hand and been with us through this whole process.
All right, so at 17%, what happened then?
Went to Baptist, started the process of kidney transplant, getting on the list. Lots of tests, lots of doctor's appointments. Had to have a stress test on my birthday. Just all sorts of stuff going on. And during this process, of course, I'm going to see Dr. Shaver every month at this point. And it just steadily was dropping. So over the course of a year, in fact, it was last March that I had the kidney stone. And so over the course of the year, it's just dropped from 17 to 14%.
Okay. So this is not a good thing to get down to 14%.
No, but the part I'm very blessed with is I don't have to be on dialysis yet. They say 15% is your magic number for dialysis, but mm-hmm. also it's based on some other numbers as well as that, and mine are still pretty stable at this point.
Yeah, the last thing you want to do is be hooked to a machine.
Sure, sure. And it's considered stage five, the highest level of kidney failure, is where we're at right now.
Okay, so you're on the list. They're looking for a match for mm-hmm. you. And this match can be anywhere in the United States, basically.
Yes,
is that correct?
It is.
All right. And here locally, people who would like to get involved with this and say, well, maybe I'm a match.
Sure.
They can go to UAMS and get tested. Is that what happens? Or, I mean, how does this all work for them if they want to be involved?
Well, there's a person at UMS that's their advocate. It's their person that they'll work through. What we're asking everyone to do is to go to my blog, cotton.buzz, and just click on the link that says my wife needs a kidney. And from what they'll do there is they'll fill out a form. We're going to take all their information, and we're going to reach out to each one of them and give them the number. They have to actually call in during the process. I bet you probably had the same thing, too. We can't call on their behalf just because of the way it's set up.
Okay, they what you're saying is they have to call the hospital.
They have to initiate the first.
Okay. Sure. All right. Yeah. So cotton.buzz.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is it a lot of Z's or just two?
Just two. cotton.buzz.
Cause see, it's you. I just know that you might have put buzz. You know, I know what your sense of humor is like. Just reading the different posts that I see on your Facebook and things of that nature. And I did go to the blog as well.
Sure.
So they just go on there, and they're going to leave some information for
you? Yes, sir. And, you know, just not to waste anyone's time or anything, there's a couple of criteria. The donor must be under 65. As you mentioned earlier, they can live anywhere in the United States that they want to. Their height and weight don't necessarily matter as long as their BMI or body mass index is lower than a 32. The donors can also eat. We've always heard that you couldn't have high blood pressure, but you actually can have high blood pressure and be a donor as long as it's controlled by one medication. And then donors can have had kidney stones in the past as long as they're not what they consider chronic or, you know, real frequent kidney stones. Obviously, no smokers. And you must have, for Donna, in her situation, you must have either O or type A. It doesn't matter, negative or positive, either one. She's a recipient for both. And that's pretty much the criteria. And then at the bottom, it's just a form that they can fill out. They just ask their name and their email, their address and everything. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take their information. We're going to be reaching out to all these people with the information that they'll need to, you know, the person at UAMS they'll call. And again, anywhere in the United States, if you live in Michigan, UAMS has somewhere there that you can go, you know, to be tested.
All right. So if you want to get involved, just go to cotton.buzz. And fill out this information. You know, make sure that you're clear on all of the things that Cotton just gave you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask him to give it again. Those sounds like about a half a dozen questions you have to answer right off the bat. And if you qualify on those questions, then there's more. I'm just going to tell you there's a lot more that they're going to want to know. About this. Donna, has the transplant team sat down and talked to you about how this process all works? Did you have a lot of questions for them?
They have. They set us down both at Baptist as well as at UAMS and just really laid it out to us. You know, anywhere from 4 to 7 days being in the hospital, a month to a month and a half being homebound. Due to infections and, mm-hmm. and things of that sort. So you know, our Cotton really asked the majority of the questions. He's the one that likes to
He's the analytical guy.
Yes, he is. And so we had a few questions, yes, and they were able to answer them completely. We walked out of there with more knowledge than we ever thought.
The immunosuppressants are what's really amazing in this whole story. I mean, if you do a lot of research on what they're able to do with those for the person that's receiving, it's just amazing. I mean, but it's also kind of hindering because we can't go to, like, eat at a buffet, you know, or we can't do potluck. We have to brown bag it, bring our own, you know. A lot of restrictions there.
Yeah, and it's right now, I know that's better than it was when I was there. I remember the people that would get, an organ donation. I remembered a handful of pills that they had to take. I think I'm hoping that it's gotten better than that.
It has.
Just two pills. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe three, depending on if they have to change medications that you're currently on.
I mean, that's really amazing. It is. Because I remember 9, 10, 12 pills for people that were getting kidneys and things of that nature. And they weren't even talking lungs. Yeah. At that time. I mean, it wasn't something that we were talking about. All right, let's get a break in. It's 18 minutes after 5. Heart transplants always amaze me. Mm-hmm. To take somebody who has passed away and take an organ that has stopped and restart it again and give somebody a completely new life. I mean, that happened to Ray Lincoln. They were ready to pull the plug on him. Right. I mean, literally, and he got his heart transplant. And he got another 5 years of life, and I mean quality of life out of it. Now, he was taking a lot of immune suppressive type medicines at that time. All right, 19 after 5. When we come back, I'm gonna dig a little deeper with Cotton and Donna. I want to talk to them about how this pulled them closer, because this kind of stuff either pulls people closer or pushes them apart. Tends to be one or the other. We'll talk about that here on the Dave Elswick Show, 96.5 FM, The Answer. Back with you, Dave Elswick Show, and we are joined by Cotton and Donna, and we're talking to them about her impending kidney transplant. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of determining who's going to be the person that gets to have the wonderful opportunity to give up a kidney on this. And it's just a great way that you could help somebody. You can live very well and very easily on one kidney. You don't need two. And God just gave us a backup.
Yeah.
Kind of the way it works.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it is the way it is. You've had lupus since you were a kid, Donna. You guys got married 11 years ago. When you found out that her kidneys were shutting down, Cotton, how did that affect you?
It's tough. It's real tough. But, you know, having been through things that we've been through our marriage, we're people of faith, and we just immediately threw prayer on it. And that's what we've done, through this whole ordeal. We've got a 4-year-old son, and every night before we go to bed, we say our prayers. And he'll put his hand on mommy, and he'll pray. You know, we'll pray over mommy. And I'm not sure he understands completely what it is, but one day he will.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, as Christians, that's all we can do is we can just turn to the Lord. You know, we ask for healing. By his stripes we're healed. And we believe that, and we stand on that. And, you know, it's something that the doctors told us. You know, we've dealt with lupus, and we've always worried about a flare, you know, or something over the years. But one of the things the doctors told us was after this transplant, after all the immunosuppressants and all this that we're going to be taking, that there's a very high likelihood that she'll never have lupus again. Now, imagine that. We've prayed for healing all this time.
Right.
So, you know, we believe with this kidney comes complete healing and, you know, completely normal life, no restrictions, you know.
That's very cool. Yeah. I mean, that's a God blessing coming through something that's tough.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, really tough. I mean, how about you, Don? I mean, how tough has it been on you? This has been going on for some time now.
Well, being diagnosed as a child, you really don't fully understand everything. Some of the things my doctors told my parents, they never told me till I was an adult. Just simply because it was too much for me to handle. Stress can bring on a flare, a lupus flare. Mm-hmm. So naturally, Cotton does keep things light, and most of the time. And you know, so tries to keep my stress level down. I don't work just simply because I can't handle
no way.
That.
You say you don't work, but I know what you do.
She does.
With the
I
church,
don't work
you do.
Outside of the home, other than my volunteer stuff with the church.
She
That's
works
volunteer.
Which is like a 40-hour week or maybe more.
Yeah, she's it's her heart. You know, her heart's to be volunteering at the church, and that's what she does. So
yeah, and
she's good at it. She's real good at it.
Oh. You know, I appreciate Cotton always being there, and you know, he handles things. You know, even when I can't, he does. And, you know, the toughest thing we ever went through was losing our daughter, Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is just another thing we're walking through. And we're going to come out on top like we did with that one.
That's right.
Yeah. So you got married 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, you knew she had some health problems, right?
She was actually taking chemo the week of our wedding. Yeah. Every bride's dream.
Wow.
Every bride's dream, you know.
You guys got this incredible story.
Yeah.
You really do.
It's a testimony.
Well, it gives you empathy for a lot of other people.
It does.
Because you know what they're walking through.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, but you know, even though you know what somebody's walking through, doesn't know you don't really know mm-hmm. what they're feeling.
No, mm-hmm. you don't. Every situation is different, you know, in every house. You know, we've got a terrific life group that we lead at our church, and you know, I'll give you. I was diagnosed with diabetes on my 40th birthday, and I looked up, and here comes this entire life group in the hospital room. You know. They'll be there for Donna. They're already asking, how can we help? You know, I mean, we've mm-hmm. got Leslie comes and helps her clean the house before life group. You know, we've just got amazing friends and our family's and just super supportive. And we're just so thankful and we're so blessed to have that.
Yeah, I did want to pass on to everybody. All the people sitting in this studio right now go to the same church, not the same campus, but the same church. And so the same type of, I don't want to call it a philosophy, it's a belief that we all share together. And you hear this term life groups. These are groups that you become involved in that you meet once a week, or maybe once every other week.
Sure.
And you just share life with other people.
Sure.
And it really helps out. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It helps out.
It does. Now, that's the 2 a.m. phone call from someone. You know, you wouldn't call someone that sits across the church from you, but someone you've been with for a few years and you meet once a week, you know, that's the person you're not afraid to call at 2 a.m., you know, if you need something, and they're there, you know.
Okay, so you said you got diabetes. Is it mm-hmm. type 1, type 2?
Type 2.
Okay, so yeah. You and I share yeah. something in common. I'm type 2 diabetic as
right.
well. I keep it pretty well under control.
I do, too.
Okay. How many medicines are you taking?
I take one.
Which one do you take?
Invokana.
I just take glipizide. I take okay. 5 milligrams a day of that
right.
and keep it under pretty good control. Doc has been asking me to come. McKenzie's been asking me to come in,
mm-hmm.
and he was talking about all of these new drugs
sure.
that they have for type 2 diabetes now.
Right.
And he got my attention not by saying, it's for your diabetes, David. It was that you take this drug, and one of the great side effects is that you'll probably drop about 10 to 12 pounds.
I've dropped a lot of weight.
So I'm looking. I'm yeah. probably going to switch.
Sure.
All right.
You'll
but
feel better too.
Well, see, I'm such a tightwad. My glipizide cost me like $4 a month.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm saying, well, Doc, how much is this other medicine going to cost? And he'll say, well, how much is it worth for you to feel better that you don't even know you're going to feel as good as you're going to feel? So
that's right.
We've been going back and forth on this here over some time.
You know, what's funny is the diet that I'm on is a type 2 diabetic. She's having to be on a special diet also called the renal diet.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to hold your thought on
okay.
that. All right. We got to come back after Fox News. This is one of the few hard breaks I got. But right now, Fox News brings you the latest here on the Dave Elswick Show. Cotton and Donna Roshab are here with me in the studio. Brian Darnell is here in the studio with me. Man, Brian, I'm going to tell you what. If I'd known that you were really good friends with my pastor, I probably wouldn't have invited you here. No, I'm just kidding. You're not a Broncos fan, are you?
You know, I'm a Peyton Manning fan.
Okay, well, that's cool.
So I rooted for him.
Yeah, I did too.
Peyton's
yeah.
my boy, Indianapolis Colts. But I'm sure. a Colts fan.
You're like me then.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. We're Colts
fans. I'm a Luck fan.
Yeah. I love Luck.
He's going to be good this year. He's
that was
gonna,
a great
he's
decision.
Not gonna be hurt.
It was a great decision to part when they did, I think, for both
I think
teams.
So.
It hurt. It hurt, but you know, it was a good decision.
Now, is he going in as a Bronco or is he going in as a Colt?
Colt.
Has he said he's wearing a Colts hat?
Oh, he has to.
Yeah,
I
think he has to.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's done a lot for Indianapolis.
Indianapolis did a lot for
Riley's children.
They loved him.
Yeah.
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 I mean, when he came back that first time, I remember they gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They went nuts for him.
Yeah.
I still like Peyton Manning.
He's a good
class act.
Exactly. Good statesman
really
for the NFL.
Class act. He doesn't make any excuses. He
one of the best ever.
Does. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, if not the best. Although
playoffs.
New England Patriots would argue with this, but hey, Peyton's got two rings now too.
That's right.
You know, if we had Gronkowski, I don't know what we'd be.
Yeah, or a defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they would figure that one out, to be honest with you. All right, well, let's get back talking about what we've been talking about to organ transplants. We're talking about kidney transplants specifically because Donna does need a kidney transplant. If you would be interested to see if you match with her, I'm going to turn it over to Cotton. He's going to tell you exactly where to go and what to do, and he's got some points that he needs to say if you've had this or you don't have that.
Sure.
I'll turn it over to him.
Sure. So you can live anywhere in the United States. That's the cool part about this. You have to be under 65 years of age. Your height and your weight don't matter as long as your body mass index, your BMI, is lower than 32. You can also have high blood pressure as long as it's controlled by one medication. You can't take like multiple medications to control your blood pressure. You can also have had kidney stones in the past as long as they're not chronic or frequent, which is something that a lot of people think automatically disqualifies them, but it doesn't. Obviously, you can't be a smoker. And in Donna's case, we need to have a type O or a type A blood type. It could be negative or positive, either one. One of those is a good donor for us. And what they'll do is they'll go to cotton.buzz, which is my personal blog. It's www.cotton.buzz. Buzz instead of .com. It's B-U-Z-Z. And what they'll do is they'll just go there and they'll click on a link that says my wife needs a kidney. And there's a form at the bottom of that blog post that they can fill out. And we will take your information. We'll reach out to you as soon as we know where the person that they have to contact at UAMS is going to be. And then we'll reach out to you by email or phone call and let you know who to call. Because we can't actually call or do a three-way to connect the way that the rules are.
Okay, so what you do is that you do the initial contact with the hospital.
Sure.
Find out who that person is, give them the information, and then they take it from there.
They take it from there, right.
All right. And how many people have you had jump
had,
on now?
We've had 70 so far.
Fantastic.
Which is a little overwhelming. You know, when someone comes forward and they say, hey, I want to give your wife a kidney, you know, and thank you seems like such a, it just doesn't seem like enough. I mean, you may want to hug them or, I don't know how, they don't make a card for that. I wish they did.
Hallmark doesn't make a card.
They don't make a card
for that.
They make
cards for everything.
Very
you would think they would.
Market there. Yeah.
It really would be, but, we're just in awe of how many people have reached out and, it's just overwhelming. And I remember we were just sitting there the other night whenever I think the 70th one came across. And I've had friends from high school. I've had friends from that I've done business with, and people that we've just met in passing and people we don't even know. We had someone from Hawaii the other day, send a thing in. We've had them from, I think it was 9 or 10 states that have said that they want to be a donor. And, it's just overwhelming. They tell us that 1 in 10 people are a match, for Donna. And we know that there are 123,000 people estimated on the list for organ transplant right now. So what we're hopeful is that we can raise awareness on this. One of my best friends from high school, his name's Chris, he lives in Memphis, and he's also on the transplant list. He's waiting for a kidney as well. And what we're hoping is that, we can raise awareness, and even if someone's not a match for Donna, that they would still consider going forward because there's someone out there, there's some life that can be changed.
Well, you probably match with somebody.
Somebody, sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know?
And, there's someone who's, in Donna's case, we've got a 4-year-old son, and given her quality of life and given her extra years, is going to be one thing. But there's other stories like that out there just like ours, and we hope to raise awareness. And I'm like you. I filled out my driver's license card, I never
Absolutely.
Give it a moment's thought. But, if there's anything good left to me, I'll leave it here because I got a new body in heaven.
The bottom line is, seriously, for you that, they're going to ask you that at the motor vehicle where you go to get your driver's license, where they're going to charge you $40 now because it's an eight-year thing. Wow. But the bottom line is they'll ask you if you want to be a donor, and please consider that. I can only tell you that just if you believe in recycling, if you want people to put to divide up their garbage, then for goodness sakes, you better be a donor. That's right. All I'm saying. If you make me go through all that hassle, then I'm just telling you, your parts can be recycled as well. I mean, we're talking corneas, we're talking bone. I mean, bone is amazing. They take that and they grind it up. They flash freeze it. They use it for cancer patients. They use it for people that need bone transplants. It's really kind of an amazing thing that they can do with bone. And just about lungs, kidneys. Liver is kind of interesting because liver, they can just take a node off of it and it grows into another liver. Yeah. Isn't that cool that God did that? Think about that. Yeah. It's a self-generating organ. It's really amazing what it can do. But Donna, I'll let you answer this one. I mean, does another woman have to be your match, or can a guy be your match? I mean, will a man's kidney too big for the place to go that's going to fit into?
It can go either way. The biggest thing is the blood match with an A or an O for me particularly, but there's also antibodies that have to be considered. Fortunately, I do not have that many, so therefore I'm an easier match than some people.
Okay.
Which also means that I'm further down on the list, because those that have higher antibodies are further up on the list.
Yeah. Okay, but if out of the 70 people somebody matches you,
and that's the reason
you
why
you two are together, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why we really hope to push that if you've put your name out there that you want to give for me and we don't even know you, then please, if you're not a match for me, help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let them take and run you through the computer.
Right.
I mean, that's what they're going to do. And you'd be surprised, it'd ding three times and the lights would go off. Right. And three cherries pop up and you're really in good shape.
You just changed someone's life.
Yeah. Exactly. You gave them life.
You did.
Yes.
That's the key.
That's right.
You're going to save their lives. It's exactly. Really that big of an issue. Mm-hmm. All right. 5:43. We'll come back, finish up our discussion here on the Dave Elswick Show. 823-0965. If you want to call in and ask questions, feel free. Maybe you're on the list as well. Maybe you're out there waiting for a transplant. You can call in. You can talk about it. 96.5 FM, The Answer. 13 minutes left in the show. Let's talk to Mike. He wants to get in on the conversation here from Little Rock. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Just fine, Dave. I hope you all haven't spoken about this. I've just got to listening just a few minutes ago. But, wouldn't it be nice if there was a way to put on a referendum ballot a default position of you are an organ donor, and if you don't want to be, you mentioned it at the driver's license point. Mm-hmm. That way you would think about how many organs would be available for so many people that need them. And I know the story. I've been through this with my daughter. Her kidneys failed, and we had to go through the entire experience, and we were fortunate enough to be able to get a kidney for her. But, what a great thing it would be. And you think about all the people this would affect. Mm-hmm. And I think most people, if they really looked into it or they had someone they cared about or really, really thought about it, they'd probably say, yeah, that's fine. They just don't do it because it's not something they have to do, or it's just on the plate somewhere.
Well, it's not on the front burner of a lot of people's thought process, and the media doesn't do enough to keep it out in front of everybody. I mean, everybody does it every once in a while, but it'd be nice if we did more as far as that goes. I mean, we have a group here in Arkansas. I forget what their name is. Now, I haven't heard from them here in the last couple of years. If they're listening, you get a hold of me, we'll get you on the air.
Yeah. Wasn't it Aurora?
Aurora, that's who it was.
Yes.
It was Aurora. So if you're Aurora, call me.
Yeah, they're the ones that connect you with people that, you can send a letter of thanks. We got a cadaver kidney for my daughter. So, you think about it. If everybody was on the list to donate, it wouldn't really be that big of a difference. for individuals, but boy, what a big change it would be in the folks that are waiting, you know, that are on the list.
Let me just ask a real quick question of you. When you knew that your daughter needed a kidney, the waiting has to be the worst part, is it not?
It is, and especially her situation was, her dialysis capability was really bad. She was what they call low and slow on the peritoneal dialysis, and she was allergic to the dialysate with the blood hemodialysis. So she had a difficult path on that end, and, you know, she was just barely staying alive on dialysis. Mm. So, and when we got the kidney, it was a huge, you know, huge change in her health and her life, and we never did find out why her kidneys went out. And that's another whole area of discussion of how many people that are young, their kidneys are failing, and nobody really knows, you know, what it is. But we've spoke with Fresenius and a lot of the people that you connect with when you go through this experience, and they would, some of the ladies would say, you know, would ask specific questions about her diet, trying to figure out, because like I say, we never found out, we didn't know what it was. They identified the battleground, but they couldn't figure out who it was. Therefore, my wife and myself, we neither one could be a donor. We had to go outside. Now the next time we can, but they were afraid this disease process, whatever it is, might come back and get this new kidney. So, you know, it's a situation where, gosh, it would just change everything. And I know people in a voting booth, you know, voting for life, voting for donation, and a simple, you know, I don't want to be check mark. What a change it would be in this whole story.
I will not deny that at all. In fact,
absolutely.
I see Mark Martin from time to time. Maybe I'll mention this to him and see what we can get what kind of ball we can get rolling. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, please do. It'd be great. And I know Bill Guatney, the late Bill Guatney, tried to do it, but he was trying to go through the legislative process and he got shot down. But I think if it was a movement among people to sign up, that might make a huge, you know, it may actually happen. You know,
It just might happen. How old was your daughter, by the way?
19.
Right.
How long ago was that?
How long ago did this happen?
She got a kidney, and it happened in 2011. She got a kidney in March, 6 months later, 2012, because of her. There were no other issues.
Wow.
And you know, something that if anybody out there is listening. If you're a parent and you have children and they're still using a pediatrician when you're 18, you know, you can till you're 21, but and that's fine. But in the situation like you're, when you have an 18-year-old and you know, everything else is fine, you don't really care about getting a primary care doctor, so you just keep using this pediatrician. They have no hospital privileges typically. You can't be checked into Children's Hospital at 18, or at least at this point, at this time, a few years ago. They have no privileges to move you to at 18 years old to Children's Hospital. We had to go to the emergency room. So, you know, as soon as your children turn 18, get them a primary care doctor for something that may happen that you just, you know, comes out of the blue like this. In other words, it's a very strange little loophole there. Where most pediatricians don't have hospital privileges except at Children's. And once your child is 18, they have to go to the emergency room to go to Baptist or St. Vincent's. Mm-hmm. It was really crazy.
All right. But, well, Mike, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you calling in and sharing your story and, of course, making your appeal. And I'll see what I can do from my end, and I'll talk to the Secretary of State and hey, look, I've got a lot of buddies that are over there in the state house and the state senate. Maybe we can get something to start cooking on this.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be a great thing. I think that's a great idea. It really is. It's a good idea. All right, so Cotton and Donna, you sit there. You got 70 people on your list. You can always use 100. So I'm hoping about 30 people will go to, you know, cotton.buzz and sign up for this. And Donna, the next time I see you here, I hope that it's with functioning kidney. What level? I mean, 100%, 90%? Where do you want it at?
100% would be great.
That'd be great.
That'd
huh?
be great.
That'd be good. I know that'd be great for Cotton. It'd take a lot of worry off of his mind. And Brian, I'm glad you came in today because it's really great to hear a personal story from somebody who's walked through the whole process.
He's a hero.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. You gave up part of your body to help somebody else.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool. And you said, I didn't ask about your friend. Where is he at? I mean, is he off? I guess he's off of dialysis now. Is he going to be able to press on with a decent lifestyle now?
Yeah, that's the hope. He's he's on a few anti-rejection meds. He'll be on those for the rest of his life. That's just part of it. But he's off of dialysis. He's back at work now. Been texting him, how's he feeling? And he said he's feeling better than ever. So it was definitely, my appeal is, the same as Cotton and Donna's, is just, really think about organ donation. It's a significant way to impact someone's life. You're going to be able to look back on your life, and that's one of the key moments. You're going to say, I did all I can for someone.
And you saved somebody's life.
And you're not going to regret it. And you look back at John 15:13, greater love has none than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's one of the things you can look to, that Jesus left us an example. And you can follow in it in this instance by being an organ donor.
That's very cool.
Yeah. Wow.
I feel honored to have the three of you here in the studio today. And like I said, I've worked within the industry itself, and it's tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough. There's winners and losers in this industry. It really, really is. But Mike has a great idea. I'll just see if I can't get somebody to grab hold of it and run with it.
That'd be awesome.
Are you listening, David Meeks? I'm just telling you.
He's a good friend of ours, too. Yeah. So I'm going to get
Stephen Meeks. Yeah. Are you listening? Jason Rapert.
That's right.
I can go down the list, guys.
Name drops.
Those are all great guys, too.
They'll help out. They really will.
All three of them.
Cotton, Donna, good. Again, the place you need to go, cotton.buzz. It's B-U-Z-Z, not com, net, O-R-G, or anything. It's cotton.buzz. Are you the only one that has .buzz?
No, that's actually a Conway company. We need to have Bill Dozier on here sometime. .buzz originated in Conway, Arkansas.
Well, the last time that I had you on, we were talking about your business.
Sure.
And we spent some time talking about how Conway is making themselves really kind of like the internet capital of the world.
Lots of cool stories in Conway.
Yeah, there's some good stuff going on over there. I have to have you come back and talk about that. Cotton and Donna, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate you. I really do.
Thank you. And Brian, thanks for coming in and share your story as well.
Pleasure was mine.
And I still don't understand how you became friends with James Bennett.
Long story. We'll talk about it off the air.
Okay, well, I'll find out about it. All right, I'm out of time. I'll be back on Monday with you. We're going to have some people come on and tell you there's a new way to train the brain. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the clean power plan that the Obama administration keeps trying to stuff down our throat. Robert Steinbach will be with us in the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock hour, law professor at UALR. All that coming your way here on the Dave Elswick Show. We always end up Friday with reminding you that God gave you a whole week of life. Surely you can give him 1 hour this weekend on Sunday to sit somewhere and listen and see what he's got to talk to you about. All right. It's Dave Elswick Show. Have a great weekend. Talk to you at 2 on Monday.